We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Pastor Jason Wilhelm. How are you doing this morning, brother?
Excellent. Couldn't be better.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. We'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. And if you would like to be entered to get the book for this month, A City on Our Knees by Toby Mack, all you have to do is like, share, and then comment the program. Even if it's after. Even if it's later or tomorrow, we will get a notification that you have liked, shared, and commented done. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you're sovereign in all things, Lord. God, that you're always at work on our behalf, that you cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose, Lord. That you foreknew us and predestined us for a time such as this, God. You're so good to us, such a good Father. Lord, we praise you this morning. We praise you, Lord, that you, God, have become our provision, our peace. By covenant, Lord, it's who you are, our provision, our peace, God. You have become our righteousness, the one who sanctifies and makes us holy. Lord, that you are our victory in all things, God. You are our shepherd, the one who is always with us. And God, that you are our healer, and you have become our salvation. We worship you for that this morning, Lord. We worship you because of who you are. Father, I just speak the blessings of power and prosperity over this ministry, God, over the Hour of Power, over the lives of these ladies who have given themselves to promote you and your word, God. I speak peace and blessing, God, grace and mercy to cover them, Lord, that they would be empowered and prospered in all that they do. They would flourish, Lord, have the true peace of God to rule in their hearts. Father, we pray, God, over this ministry, God. I pray that the word that goes out from here would begin to go far beyond it has ever reached, Lord, that you would bring in a flood of revival, that you would cause people to just hear what's being said and what's being done right here in this ministry, Lord God. Cause it to prosper, Lord. Let your word go forth and establish what you sent it forth to do, because that's what you've said about your word. So, Lord, as we engage you in your word this morning, we open our hearts to you and invite you to speak into us and change us forever in the breath of your presence. We love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I really like your title, Fisher of Men.
Yeah, it's so it seems like every time I come in, we're always on a series, right? So it's, yeah, it's impossible for a preacher to actually get something done in one service. I don't know why. Or maybe not for everyone, but it seems like it is for me. You know, you could probably, a lot of times what I try to do when I come here is condense down several weeks of message into one message. And sometimes it's a little hard because I have a hard time just talking about one of the subjects through an hour at church, it seems like. So it gets a little tough. But fishers of men. You know, the Lord, when we started the year, I think I shared here last time what the Lord had shared with me, showed me about this year, about 2023. And really the point of that is what that number means biblically from the Hebrew numbers and meaning is that it's a depiction, a picture of the rich man chasing after the poor to give away their wealth. And God is calling us to reformation. This Fishers of Men series is just another step on our beginning of the year series that we did in January. And the truth is this, that God has called us all. We're all called. I mean, if you don't know you're called, I'm telling you right now, just chalk it down, make a note of it, whatever you got to do, but you're called. If you're a Christian, you've given your life to the Lord, you have a call. And God has called us. And so as I began to think about that call, the Lord brought to mind that term that when Jesus called Peter and James and John and Andrew, he said that he would make us fishers of men, fishers of men. And, you know, for so long, that term has conjured up in my mind, at least, and I think maybe for a lot of other people, I don't know, a whole picture of what it means to be a witness on the planet, to actually be fishers of men for the kingdom. And I think it looks a whole lot different maybe than what maybe we have heard or been taught or think about when we think about those terms. You know, we only know what we know because we've been taught what we've been taught, or we have come up with a thought or an idea. You know, there's the problem that man has, me included. I'm not picking on anybody because, hey, I can be one of the worst at it, right? The problem sometimes that we have as humans, we tend to put our human nature into what God has said. You know, I have a friend. This is kind of a good example. I have a friend that years ago, he had a really good friend that was kind of a self-proclaimed theologian. He was a guy that had worked on a translation of the Bible. And he was a very intelligent guy, and he knew a lot of the word and had so many truths in him, you know, that were just unbelievable. Wow, you know. And what he began to figure out, my friend, what he began to figure out, this guy, he would look so deep into the truth, into one truth, that he finally told him, he said, you know what you've done? You went right past the truth into error. Because sometimes we get our intellect wrapped around what it is that God is doing or saying. I give you an example. See, this is why I can't get through a whole message, I'm telling you. But I give you an example of that. Paul, you know, Paul talks about, or the word, let's just say the word talks about entering the rest of God, right? Yeah. It's that we have entered his rest. We're no longer, Paul talks about, we're no longer under law. We're no longer, but we're now in grace, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so we now have this covenant of grace, no more law, no more works, no more. And so then James says, hey, faith without works, it's no good. It's not good. And he said, and so then Paul says, I strive for it. This I'm striving after, that which the Lord has called me for. So there seems to be so many contradictions. Here's the truth. God, there's really no contradictions here in this book. Now you can find hundreds of what might seem to be. Here's what we need to understand. God is God, and he can do whatever he wants. And whatever he says will never contradict anything that's in this book to you. But we tend to grab a hold of one thing and begin to make a doctrine out of that thing. We begin to wrap our intellect around it until that thing becomes. And what happens? What happens in that is this. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. What that boils down to is this. Seek him. Seek him. And all the other stuff will fall into place for you. When we begin to make the things of God the truths of God, when we begin to run after them and bypass him, we lose both. We lose both. Now, I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm just saying we begin to get lost in that. Without that relationship, that's why Jesus said, look, seek him first, and then stuff, this other stuff will happen. It'll just happen. So, you know, we tend to get carried away with those truths. And so what I want to look at, there's this beautiful picture in our call. And I'm not telling you not to go after the truths. Go after them with everything that's in you. But just be sure that you're doing that through a relationship with him. That's what this really is about. This Fishers of Men series is about. We've been called. We've been given a great commission. And that great commission says this. Jesus said, go out into all the nations and make disciples of them. Make disciples of them. The word, this very word disciple, is the same thing, it's the same word that we have as discipline. Discipline. Make disciples of them. Make apprentices of them. And what that looks like is this. I'm not knocking any of these things. They're all good things. So please don't misunderstand or mishear me. It's not so much about handing out tracts. It's not so much about preaching at people who are hurting or in a bad situation. It's not so much about telling someone, boy, you better quit doing that, or this and that. It's not about being condemning. It's not about we sometimes think we're speaking the truth in love and we damage people. The word of God is sharp like a two-edged sword. You got to be careful wielding that thing. You know what I'm saying? It's about the love of God. When God called you, he didn't beat up on you. He wasn't mean to you. He didn't just come at you with good intentions. You know what he came at you with? A couple of things we're going to talk about, but he came at you with agape. He came at you with the choice to love you. Agape is a choice. It is a choice to love you right where you were at. And he came to you with grace, his empowerment in your life to perform everything. He's not about beating anybody up. He's not about preaching down toward people. And I'm not saying that you're doing that or anyone's. I'm just saying we need to kind of redefine in this Reformation what it is to be fishers of men. We really do, because what we're called to be is ambassadors of Christ. That means we're representatives of Jesus. That means that our life is supposed to look like his. That's what it means. That's literally what it means. Here's the beautiful part. Because he went away, he sent his presence, his spirit, his life to live in us to carry that out. You don't have to work for it. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he can do through you. So this Fishers of Men thing is so beautiful. And I want you to see the transformation that happens in being a real, true disciple of Jesus. So we're going to look. I'm going to read through the three accounts of this. Two of them are statements, and one of them is the story. One of them is the story. And I say, this is no offense to you ladies in the room or to any of you ladies that might be listening, but I think Luke was kind of the woman of the bunch because he likes to give details and lots of them, you know what I'm saying? And Matthew, he was a little that way. Mark, not so much. He just, yeah, he was a true man. Just here it is. That's it. I don't know what else to tell you. So it's always good. It's always good, especially in the Gospels, to read the multiple accounts to kind of see what it looks like from different points of view. So we're going to start in Matthew 4. Get this place held here. We'll get moved over to Matthew 4:18-22. So we're going to look at the three versions of what that call looked like when Jesus said, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And just know he's calling you the same way. There's a lot of good stuff in this. So everybody get your spiritual ears working this morning. All right, Matthew 4, verse 18. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And so you remember that, the casting of the net. We have become that net as the body of Christ. We're the net that's being casted at the hand of the King. So just remember that. Verse 19, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, the sons of thunder, right? In the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. So one set was casting, one set was mending. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. All right. Now, let's go to Mark 1:16. And I'll back up and we'll read. We'll start in 14. And after John had been taken, this would be John the Baptist. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Now we didn't see that line in Matthew. He came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. Verse 16. So now we see Jesus was there at the Sea of Galilee preaching. So we've got another added fact here. 16. And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting their net. Here we are casting the net again into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were also in a boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to follow them. So now we see Jesus preaching. We see Simon and Andrew casting. We see James and John mending, same thing. And then we see that when James and John, now when they leave, they left their father and some hired people to help. So they were stewards as they left their livelihood. They were stewards to leave their father in a good position. So they stewarded, a lot like David did when he left the sheep. He left them with a caretaker to go do the business of God. Same kind of thing. All right, so those are the statements of the call. Those are just the plain, simple, dry cut, this is what happened. Now, Luke. Luke, as I said, and I'm saying it jokingly, but Luke, the woman of the bunch, he's going to give you the details. He's going to tell you what was going on here. Okay, so Luke 5:1. Now it came about that while the multitudes were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which was the Sea of Galilee we've seen in the other picture. So now we have another thing that's happening on top of the other stuff. So in Matthew, Jesus simply walked up and called them, right? So then in Mark, Jesus was preaching. Then he walked up and called them. And Luke's like, okay, I'm going to give you all the details of what's going on in this story. So it says now, so obviously we know Jesus was preaching and he was about to call these guys. And so now Luke says, this is what happened. Jesus was preaching and the multitudes were about to trample him to death trying to get to him. And it's important to note this. It's very important to note because it's important about discipleship. The crowds were drawn to Jesus. Jesus generously gave to him, but he was drawn to those 12. That was what his life was about, was pouring into them. The culmination of that was the Great Commission, when the 11 were all that was left, that he said, everything that I've taught you for these 3 years, everything, you go give that away and do what I did with you with others. That's why I have come, and that is the fire that I want to continue to happen. So the people were drawn to him, and yet he was drawn to the 12. He was drawn to that personal intimacy with you, with me. That's what he was drawn to. And so it says that the people were pressing in around him to listen to the word of God, and he was standing by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Washing their nets. So we have, they were casting, they were mending. Now Luke says they were washing. Now, don't read too much into the differences there. What did I just say when we started? You'll find all kinds of contradictions, and I'm going to tell you the honest God's truth. God is sovereign. He is God. And if you believe that, he can say and do whatever he wants to. Now, these aren't contradictions when you study this out. They're actually all one in the same thing going on. But they're washing their nets. So in that time, they would cast their nets. They would get debris in them and seaweed or whatever up from the bottom. And they would get tears in the nets. And so this mending, this washing, it's all one and the same. They were taking care of their tool is what they were doing. There's a good reason why they were cleaning. And we're going to see why they were cleaning, because that's all they had in the net was junk. There was nothing else in the net. So it says that he saw the two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from land. And he sat down and he began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep. Jesus is calling, go out, go deep, go out, go deep. He says, put out into the deep, deep water, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered him and said, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. Yet at your bidding, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. No wonder these guys ended up mending their nets. You know what I'm saying? Their nets began to break, and they signaled to the partners to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. They came, and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. I'm going to tell you what. If you're going to give Jesus the platform of your life, he might sink your boat. He just might sink your boat, and that's okay. Look at the haul these guys brought in, right? Yeah. So it says that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which were taken. So also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, Simon, do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This was the call that God placed on our lives. When you met him, when he walked into your life, he said, hey, can I use your boat? I have an agenda. I have something I want to do on this planet, and I'm a little crowded, and I need some help. Would you give me the platform of your life? Would you do that? Just let me use your boat. Oh, Peter, I love Peter too. You follow Peter through this book. This guy, he's something else. Yeah, he's a bull in a china closet. I mean, he's like a pet coon. I mean, what he don't tear up, he poops on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, a lot like me, a lot like all of us. That's old Peter. So here we have this Jesus come to this guy. Hey, would you let me use your boat? I'd like to use your boat. Peter does. He does exactly it. Really, really kind of, sort of, just in innocence, he just, well, sure, I'll let you use my boat. Now, you got to imagine that Peter has heard this guy talking, right? He's preaching around the Sea of Galilee. The people are about to overrun him. You know, Peter's looking, going, what in the world's going on? And I mean, it's no wonder he's not in his boat. He's probably out there trying to figure out, what in the world's going on with this guy? Not unlike you and I when we met Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We walked into something and bam, here he is. And he's saying, hey, can I use your boat? Can I have the platform of your life to do my work? Peter says, yep, you sure can. So what's the first thing that Jesus asks him to do with the platform of his life? Let's move out. Move out into the water. Let's go out. So Peter rows out. Jesus begins to do his thing. And when it's over, he tells old Peter, he said, listen, go out and go deep. Go out. Don't stay in the shallows. There's nothing here for you. Go out and go deep. Get beyond the place of salvation. I'm not talking about leaving it behind. I'm talking about pressing in. Press in to me. This is a picture of what's about to happen over the next three and a half years in the lives of these men. I'm calling you to go out and go deep. There's a bounty out there for you if you'll go out and you'll go deep. This is what he's asking of us in our lives. Go out, go deep, come deeper with me, and then cast your net. Cast your net. You know that platform of your life you just gave me? Go out and go deep with it. Go out and go deep in me with it. Cast your net. What's old Peter say? He's, Lord, we've been out all night. I mean, all night long, working our tail ends off, and we ain't caught nothing. Why do you think, you know, we up here washing our nets out? We've got nothing but seaweed and rocks and branches and twigs. We've done tried that. But because you said it, I'm going to do it. It's no different than the picture of Luke 1, where the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and begins to tell her these things about, hey, Mary, you're going to get pregnant out of wedlock, never knowing a man, and your baby is going to be the Savior of all mankind. You're going to call him Jesus. And Mary's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This doesn't make sense to me. How can this be, Lord? That's what she says. Well, how can this be? I says, I've not known a man. It's the same thing that Peter's going through with his, you know, everything he's ever known in his life is right here in his hands, and he's just handed it to Jesus to use, right? Right, yeah. And so just like old Mary, she's oh, well, how can this be? That doesn't make sense. She starts pondering and thinking, and, oh, you know, I'm going to be super, super, super popular in town with all the girls and at the coffee shop. Well, you know, and what about old Joe? We're not even married yet. What's he going to think when I turn up pregnant, you know? I mean, oh, he's going to love that, yeah. Yeah, what about mom and dad? Oh, your mama going to love that. You got a baby coming and you ain't even married. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I'm telling you about the Father. He can do whatever he wants, and you can't put him in a box. I can't put him in a box. He can do what he wants because he is God. He's God. We have to stop limiting him in our lives, in our call, in all of this. Allow him to be who he is because that's what he wants to do. I'm telling you, every time that we do what Mary did and we do what Peter did, this is it. This is how hard it is. Yeah. It's not about your works. It's not about what you can do for the Lord. It's not about you being able to take his word and put it into a package to change somebody's life. If I speak this truth to them, it's going to change their heart. It's not about that. You know what it's about? It's about the thing that Peter just did. It's about the thing that Mary did. It's about the thing that the Sons of Thunder did. It's about the thing that his brother Andrew did. It's this. Yes. Be it to me according to your word. Because you've said it, Lord, Peter said, I'll do it. Mary said, be it to me according to your word. Whatever it is that God has to say to you is the best possible outcome you will ever walk through in your life. That's what Peter did. Yes, I give you my platform. Yes, I've already tried that and it didn't work. But yes, because you said it, I'll do it. Yes. So then what happens? They haul in a load like they've never hauled in. Their nets are breaking. They got to call for help. Because of one man's yes, four men's lives changed. And because those four men's lives changed, and along with the other eight of the 12, Jesus took 12 people in 3 years and changed the world. What are we doing? What are we doing, right? Yeah, it's kind of sort of like that picture of when they were out in the boat in the water and the storm come up. Jesus is back. He's back there sleeping, rocking in the waves, you know, probably humming a tune in his sleep, you know. He's at peace and he's good. The disciples are in the bow of the boat clawing at the wood for their lives, gritting their teeth, fixing to die. And they come back there and start shaking. Hey, wake up, Jesus, wake up. Do you not care that we're fixing to perish? And he's like, gets up, walks to the front of the boat, rebukes the storm, and then simply turns to them and says, how come you guys ain't got any faith? It's just the yes to what he's telling you. That is the call. I don't know where you belong in the kingdom. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. Whatever he's saying to you, yes is the answer, and it leads to your destiny. So they haul in this catch. Their nets are breaking. Their boats are sinking. And they get it to the shore. And Jesus and oh, Peter, man, because of this huge blessing. Now, I'm going to tell you, because of the blessings of God, he is in awe. He is amazed. And just like old Jeremiah, he says, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy to even be around you. You need to just move on. I'm not good enough for your call. And Jesus, what does he do? He doesn't say, that's right, Peter, you need to get your life in order. You need to fix this, and that about your life so that you can walk in a righteous lifestyle. Get your rear end to church. Study the word. He didn't give him a list of things. You know what he said? Hey, don't be afraid. Be at peace. I'm going to make you a fisher of men, and I'm going to be there to help you do it all. You think that I'm holy and I'm righteous and that I'm God, I'm something. I am that. But I want to be that for you. You don't have to do it, Peter. I will make you a fisher of men. Not you. I will make you that. The grace of God, agape love in action in that man's life. Because of that, because of the yes of those men, the world changed. They said yes. God's calling us to say yes. They were amazed. They were amazed at the blessings of God. And that was what brought them to the kingdom. And we're going to do our break right here. But this is the thing. Jesus said to a group of people, you will not believe unless you see signs and wonders. Unless you see signs and wonders. We have to move beyond the begging and wanting and worship of the blessing of God out into the deep. We're going to talk about that on the other side.